Dr. William Luther Pierce. The year 2000. Black is good, white is bad.
Hello. Today let's talk a little about the mass sexual assaults on white women by blacks and Puerto Ricans, which occurred in New York City a little less than 2 weeks ago. The assaults were on the Sunday before last, June 11th, which in New York is officially Puerto Rican Day. And I should tell you that that fact alone dampens my sympathy for the victims right from the start. It's hard to feel sorry for anyone who would choose to live in a place that has an official Puerto Rican Day. I don't know what your image of Puerto Ricans is. I believe that for most Americans, it's a smiling brown face serving them some sort of iced beverage with rum while they are relaxing under a beach umbrella. That's the average soccer mom's image, which she acquired from watching those television commercials for Caribbean cruises. Whites who live in New York and have to deal with Puerto Ricans on a continuing basis have a different image. They call them cockroaches, cucarachas. They are the ghastly result of crossbreeding Caribbean Indians, blacks, and an especially low grade of white trash, and teaching their mongrel offspring to speak Spanish of a sort. They are probably the most unsavory ethnic group in the very unsavory stew of ethnic groups, which is New York City. About the only good thing that can be said for the Puerto Ricans is that they have set off a lot of bombs in various U.S. government offices over the years, and on one occasion they launched an assault on the U.S. Congress and shot half a dozen congressmen. They also made a reasonably creditable, but unfortunately unsuccessful, assassination attempt against President Harry Truman in 1950. But these valiant acts were carried out by an almost white Puerto Rican elite and hardly compensate for the worthlessness of the average Puerto Rican. After Puerto Ricans in New York's Central Park sexually assaulted approximately 50 white women, plus a couple of non-white women following the Puerto Rican Day parade on June 11th, everyone was looking for someone to blame. The first thing the media and the politicians had to say about that is, don't blame the Puerto Ricans. It wasn't a racial thing. The victims were of all races. Well, while it is technically correct that not every single victim was white, anyone watching films of the attacks can easily see that nearly all of them were, while all of the attackers were non-whites. The rampaging mob really wasn't interested in black and Puerto Rican women, and so non-white women who were in the area managed to scurry out of harm's way, while the mob of Puerto Ricans and blacks deliberately singled out white women and white girls as young as 14, ripping off their clothes, squeezing their breasts, and thrusting their fingers deep into their genitalia. White men who accompanied some of the women were held and forced to watch while the non-whites brutalized and humiliated their women. Despite the fact that nearly all the victims were white, the news story on the assaults in this week's issue of Gerald Levin's Time magazine pictured both of the two black victims, including one with peroxided orange hair. The aim clearly was to create the impression that at least half the victims were black. The story in this week's issue of Catherine Meyer Graham's Newsweek magazine had a photograph of one of the two black victims. Some of the women blamed the police, who ignored the victims when they pleaded for help. There were rumors that the politicians had ordered the police not to arrest or harass the Puerto Ricans, lest they riot. I'm inclined to say, well, that's life in the great Satan these days. What do you expect? But many people are acting surprised by the sexual assaults and the reports that the police refused to intervene. The media and the politicians have been telling them that the crime rate in New York is going down. They have been boasting that the great experiment in multicultural living is succeeding. And now this. What a nasty surprise. That's like a family living in a cockroach-infested apartment. The family is too lazy or too preoccupied with other things to clean up the apartment and get rid of the cockroaches. They have heard rumors that cockroaches spread disease, but everyone still seems healthy, so they just discount the rumors, ignore the cockroaches, and continue watching their ball games on TV. Then they start getting sick. I'm not surprised. Are you surprised? I'll tell you what does surprise me, and that's the fact that the Puerto Rican Day assaults have gotten any media coverage at all. This is the sort of thing that the controlled media nearly always take great pains to ignore. They don't want to confuse the lemmings who've been taught that multiculturalism is the most wonderful development since the wheel. It makes me suspect that one of the women who had her genitalia probed by the subhumans in Central Park knows somebody who was willing and able to make a fuss. Certainly, these mass assaults on white women by our colored brothers generally are ignored successfully. 2 months ago, for example, black college students had their so-called Black Spring Break 2000 celebration in Biloxi, Mississippi. Approximately 20,000 young blacks congregated in the Biloxi and Gulfport area, generally behaving as we expect 20,000 young blacks to behave when they have the local law enforcement agencies overwhelmed. They ate in restaurants and walked out without paying. They smashed up convenience stores when the storekeepers ran out of beer. One unhappy white storekeeper complained, "My bathrooms are ruined. I didn't believe people could be so mean and ugly." Well, I hope you believe it now. Other whites were shocked to see blacks pulling down their pants and relieving themselves on the sidewalks. The real black behavior, however, manifested itself when white women and girls who didn't have the sense to stay indoors, or in some cases were caught going to or from their places of employment, were spotted by the blacks. The cry would go up, "There's a white girl, get her." Then exactly the same thing would happen that happened in Central Park. The unfortunate white girl would be mobbed by blacks, her clothes would be ripped from her body, and she would be fondled and probed while other blacks gleefully watched and videotaped her humiliation. There were even photographs in the local newspapers of stripped white girls running from the mob and trying to cover their nakedness with their hands while the blacks leered at them and made obscene gestures. But these Mississippi newspapers, just like those in New York, carefully avoided describing what happened in racial terms. Well, that's certainly not the Mississippi I remember from the days when I was an undergraduate. In those days, if a mob of blacks had assaulted white women the way they did 2 months ago, not one would have left Biloxi alive. Roadblocks would have been set up to keep them from fleeing, and they would have been hunted down and killed to the last black. The police would be manning the roadblocks and helping to provide the firepower. But you know, Mississippi is part of the so-called New South these days, where blacks not only can get away with that sort of behavior, but the politicians and the media make excuses for them and cover for them. Well, anyway, my point was that you didn't hear about what happened in Biloxi 2 months ago unless you happened to live there. I got my information from the Gulfport, Mississippi Sun-Herald, but it certainly wasn't in the Washington Post or the New York Times. Most such incidents are successfully covered up by the national media. The incidents this month in Central Park are the rare exceptions to the rule. So, who is to blame for this situation? Well, the soccer moms undoubtedly will find some small flaw in the system to blame, some minor breakdown in the system, which is supposed to permit them to live in the multicultural jungle that America has become without being assaulted by the animals who also live in the jungle. They want to put a band-aid on the system, perhaps fire some lower-level police official, and then have things continue as before but without the assaults. They want to be able to stroll through Central Park on Sunday afternoons with subhuman animals all around them and still be perfectly safe. They are out of touch with reality. Reality is that if you insist on living in a jungle, then you should expect to be eaten. Reality is that whites and non-whites are different. To blacks and Puerto Ricans, grabbing a woman in public and ripping her clothes off is no big deal. Rape is no big deal either. Blacks really don't understand why whites take rape so seriously. In the third world, rape is a macho thing. Young men do it and get away with it. And of course, as we bring more and more non-whites into the United States, we must expect to see more and more of the sort of behavior we saw in Biloxi and in Central Park. And it's not just the non-whites. In fact, already white behavior also is moving in that direction. The Jewish mass media already have pounded the notion into the heads of the lemmings and the college girls of both sexes that whatever is black is good, that blacks and Puerto Ricans and Mexicans may have cultures and lifestyles which differ from ours, but really, theirs are better than ours, cleaner and greener and wiser and less offensive than ours, nicer than ours. The same sort of destructive nonsense is being taught in many of our public schools and in our colleges and universities. I'm sure you've heard this black is better party line yourself often enough. But I'll read you a couple of paragraphs from a letter I received a few days ago from a woman who provides a perfect example of just what I've been talking about. This particular soccer mom, who goes by the name Sherilyn Hoff, apparently listened to one of my broadcasts, didn't like it, and decided to tell me how displeased she is with my political incorrectness. Ms. Hoff writes, and I quote, "I am speaking as an educated, upper-middle-class white woman." And she writes the word white with a disapproving sneer by enclosing it in quotation marks. "I am an educated, upper-middle-class white woman of holy European descent, the kind of person you wish to recruit. Your attitudes and beliefs, beyond embarrassing me, highly offend me. I'd like to know what makes you feel that you are in any way better than anyone else." And better seems to be another word Ms. Hoff finds offensive because she encloses it also in quotation marks. Actually, there are a number of words in her letter in quotation marks. The word European, for example. And I suspect that these are words she has been conditioned to feel uncomfortable about. Ms. Hoff continues, and again I quote, "First of all, in terms of protecting our territory from non-whites, you must remember that your European heritage indicates that you are culturally and racially from Europe, not from the Americas. The Europeans came and exploited and abused this good American land and its native peoples, who have traditionally held beliefs and practices of deep respect for the land and nature, the kind of knowledge and respect that hundreds of thousands of well-educated, upper-middle-class white people are paying big bucks to learn at seminars, retreats, and alternative education programs. Why? Because white Europeans, while having the market cornered in terms of aggression, control, and manipulation, have missed the boat in terms of spiritual values that honor and respect the beautiful earth and the beautiful creatures that Great Mother Earth has created for us. It is whites who brought the blacks here as slaves. They did not come of their own volition. They were stolen by force from their tribal structure, the attributes of which you obviously have no knowledge or basis for understanding. Go educate yourself, darling, about the value of elder wisdom as passed to indigenous youth through traditional tribal rites of passage, and you will find a structure desperately missing and much needed in the depravity of white America. Your ignorance and lack of capacity to appreciate what you can learn from indigenous cultural structures are beyond embarrassing, obviously extremely dangerous. Gunpowder, arms, egoism, and a drive to control, manipulate, and destroy are not qualities of which to be proud. Yes, they helped whites get on top for a minute period of this earth's long history, but they are not qualities that will enable whites to endure their deluded brand of supremacy. The natural order will take place, and people like you will fade away under the patchwork of multi-ethnicity and interbreeding. Fight as you may in an unattractive quandary of fear and hatred. You live in fear, and thus are fighting a losing battle. I can bet hands down that many of your members cannot hold a candle to the many intelligent, beautiful, talented, well-educated, loving people that I am blessed to have in my life who come from a variety of different ethnicities and cultures. Frankly, I don't want more people like you on this earth. The contributions my friends of color and my friends of same-sex sexual orientation have made to our society are vast, etc. Well, you know, I didn't choose that letter to read to you for its brilliance, but because it is typical of a mindset which, unfortunately, is very common among white Americans, not only among women, but also among feminized men who like to think of themselves as educated. And in a superficial sense, they are educated in that they have passed through one of the institutions pretending to be universities in America these days. When Bill Clinton speaks to university audiences about the fact that whites are rapidly approaching minority status in America, it is women like Ms. Hoff and their male counterparts who applaud. They really have been trained to hate their own race, their own civilization, their own traditions. Black is good, white is bad. That sounds pretty simple-minded, but in essence, that is what people like Ms. Hoff have been taught. An ironic aspect of the situation is that these people have an instinctive realization that American society is in a terminal state of decay. Ms. Hoff refers to it as the depravity of white America. But when they go looking for solutions, the Jews wearing their New Age guru hats are waiting for them at the ticket booth, ready to take their money and stuff them full of even more baloney about indigenous cultural structures and the wonders of the colored brother in seminars, retreats, alternative education programs, and the rest of the New Age brainwashing apparatus. One of the standard features of such seminars, retreats, and so on, is the claim that blacks and so-called Native Americans are much more sensitive to environmental problems than we are. White heterosexual males are obsessed with gunpowder and destruction, while people of color are born environmentalists. That's about as blatant a falsehood as you'll find among all of the New Age hocus-pocus. Take a look sometime at the membership of serious environmental groups such as the Sierra Club. You'll have a hard time spotting a non-white face among them. Really, they would like nothing better than to have more diversity in their ranks, but the non-whites just aren't interested. To blacks and Mexicans, environmentalists are crazy to be concerned about things like trees and whales. Take a look at conditions on any Indian reservation. They don't spread their trash around like that because the white man forces them to. They do it because they don't understand why they shouldn't. When Europeans began arriving here in substantial numbers more than 400 years ago, the only reason the Indians hadn't made much of an impact on the land was that they had only a Stone Age culture. They were still hunters and gatherers without the know-how to sustain more than a very sparse population. If the Indians had had steel tools and gunpowder and machinery, there wouldn't have been a buffalo or a tree left by the time the whites arrived. And there wouldn't be an environmental movement today were it not for the white people who are concerned enough about the environment to devote their time and money to trying to preserve it. Unfortunately, not every white person shares that concern. Many care as little about nature as the blacks and Indians do. But it is only among whites that there is any concern at all. Anyway, back to Biloxi in Central Park. I always try to be completely frank with you. And so I should tell you that I rejoice whenever something like that happens. It makes me feel good to see even a very minor riot like the one earlier this week in Los Angeles. Of course, I am very sorry that many of the women who are raped or humiliated are completely innocent. It is a very rough educational experience for them. It's too bad that the women who are victimized when the blacks revert to their jungle behavior can't all be Sherrilyn Hoffs. You know, I used to think that a good, brutal gang rape by blacks or Puerto Ricans would straighten out the thinking of someone like Ms. Hoff in a hurry. I don't believe that any longer, though. I've seen too many examples of just how strong a grip political correctness has on such people. They would rather die, really, they would rather die than be politically incorrect, than be thought to have an unfashionable opinion. By the time Sherrilyn was out of the hospital, she would have figured out how what had happened to her was entirely the fault of heterosexual white males. Such people can be cured, but it'll take more than a gang rape. To make the lemmings change course will take a scientifically designed program of mass conditioning of the sort the Jews have used to get them moving in their present direction. Nevertheless, I still welcome these demonstrations of indigenous tribal exuberance, such as we saw in Biloxi and Central Park. They may do nothing for Sherrilyn Hoff, who will continue hoping for the extinction of the white race so she won't feel guilty or embarrassed any longer. But there are many other white women and white men, too, who are capable of learning something from these demonstrations. They need to learn a lot while there still are enough of us to do something about the course of events. Thanks for being with me again today.